Hi, welcome to the Speaking of Sex podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer sex advice so you can have an amazing sex life. But we also know that relationships go far beyond sex, and long-term relationships especially require skills such as devotion and communication that affect your sex life for sure. And so on special episodes of this podcast, we're going to start exploring relationships and values that we bring to relationships that set the conditions for an amazing sex life. It's all connected, after all. But we also believe that in our culture, we have far too few conversations about the values of relationships that keep relationships going and working for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And we want to start talking about that a little bit more. And we're going to start with this episode, which comes from a very personal experience of the past few months. So here's the deal. I, Chris of Pleasure Mechanics, got really sick in March and April of this year, 2016. And it ended up being an infection, and I was on antibiotics, and I was in bed for almost 6 weeks dealing with this sickness. And Charlotte took amazing care of me. And in those moments of sickness, we are reminded of one of those vows that most of us include in our marriage ceremonies or have as an unspoken part of our long-term commitment to each other, which is this phrase, in sickness and in health. And so we want to explore for a moment what this means in a long-term relationship and how it connects to our sex life. And to set the background even more, we also have a daughter who's 1.5 years old and who requires full-time care. And so Charlotte was busy running the household, taking care of her daughter and taking care of me. And she did an incredible job. So thank you, darling.
Pleasure.
Was it a pleasure? Let's start there. How did you find this experience of tending to me when I could barely get out of bed?
I think that there is a pleasure in feeling like one is doing the very best that one can and sourcing patience and love and power and devotion as best as you can when you're under-resourced. And there's a pride in that of, I am doing my very, very best here and I'm taking care of everyone as best as I can. And there's a beauty in that. It's like you are really digging deep in these hard moments in life. And I know that a lot of people have that experience. People are taking care of elders, family, like so many of us are doing this at the same time. I felt like the devotion was a very familiar experience, and I think it is sort of the same feeling of like when one is tending to a lover's body in a really beautiful massage or in a lovemaking session. It's actually kind of the same energy where you're really paying as much attention as you possibly can to their needs. You're responding to what they say they need. You're taking care of yourself as best as you can. And you're seeing if you can create as much pleasure as you can, even if the situation is quite dire. You're like, can I make you more comfortable? Would you like tea? Would you like water? Do you need warmth? Can I prop up your leg? You know, whatever it is, it's like, how can I make you a little bit more comfortable? What kind of, yeah. So I think that it was interesting to notice that the devotion was the same.
Yeah, this flow of giving and receiving became really obvious. And for a long stretch there, I was asking and you were giving. And for me, the experience was about humbling myself and becoming vulnerable enough to really ask for what I needed. And I noticed how many times I hesitated to ask for what I needed because I didn't want to put more burden on you. So what I really needed was more liquids, more hydration. But to ask you to go to the kitchen yet again and fill up my water bottle felt like, God, I'm asking for more. Like, do I deserve this? Is she at her limit? And yet, every time I got up the strength to ask for what I needed, you were more than happy. I don't know how happy you were, but you were more than willing to serve me yet again. And what you kept reminding me is that when you were pregnant, I took care of you 24/7, and I did all of the shopping and all of the groceries and all of the cooking for 9 months to support you in having a great pregnancy. And you were more than willing to bring that energy back to me. And this is that flow in a long-term relationship, that in that moment, it felt like I was asking so much of you. And yet I was happy to give to you when you needed me a few years back. And we've been together now almost 10 years. And within that 10-year period, there is going to be a balance of giving and receiving. And within our lifetime, hopefully together, there's going to be that ebb and flow. There's going to be times when one of us needs the other's devotion and service. And so the question becomes, can you ask for what you need when you need it? And that doesn't necessarily have to be around sickness. That might be you're super stretched thin at work, and so you need to ask for more support. And most of us are not very good at asking for what we need. And it really comes down to this core of, am I worth receiving devotion? I feel like that's the core of this question. Am I worthy of receiving my partner's love and service and devotion? And that's a profound question, because if you can say yes, like, they love me, they chose me, they are devoted to me in life, then obviously, if I am able to clearly ask for what I need, the core of our relationship, the value of our relationship is such that they will do their best to give me what they can, right? And you also then have to trust that they are willing to set their own boundaries and not overstep those boundaries to the point they get resentful, right? So there were times where you were like, I have to change a dirty diaper, da-da-da-da-da, like, I'm happy to get you water, it's just going to be a few minutes. Right. And like, you had to set those boundaries in order to not drive yourself crazy and become resentful of me. So I think this core question of, am I worthy of receiving devotion? And then the flip side of that coin is, am I willing to give service, to be devoted to my partner in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad? You know, these things we say at our weddings, how does that play out in our daily lives? And that's what came so clear to us in this period of sickness when you were serving me, and in your pregnancy when I was serving you. And there's been so many moments like this. You know, one of our mothers is sick with cancer. We both put our combined energy to serving that family member. You know, someone needs our help and we throw our attention there. It's like this pattern repeats itself in all of these different ways in our life. This feeling of devotion, of service.
And practicing asking for what you need and sharing that in times where you are healthy is so valuable, because in the times where you are under-resourced and trying to just get through the days, it becomes so much easier if you've strengthened that muscle. Otherwise, I feel like you're thrown into this whole other emotional thing where you're just trying to just get your practical needs met. So it really highlighted the value and the work that we'd done in terms of that being an easier flow. Not that it's always easy, but that it's easier.
Yeah.
And in terms of receiving, when you were asking for things, it was so much easier for me. And I was so grateful when you asked me for what you needed, so that I didn't have to come into the bedroom and ask every 2 minutes, do you need anything? Are you okay? You know, it's like when you tell me what you need, I feel like I can be useful. I can directly do that. I can do that without a lot of emotional, but are you okay? Do you need this? You know, like all that extra emotional junk. Uh-huh. Just like, let me get that for you right now. And then I can get back to taking care of our baby. And, you know, it just simplifies things when one can ask for what you need directly and then the other person can give it to you. And that is, of course, relevant and exactly the same in the bedroom.
Mm.
It's totally parallel when we realize that this would feel better. This wouldn't, when somebody doesn't know what they want and doesn't know what they need, which happens to all of us sometimes, but trying to get better at figuring out what we need and being sovereign beings and being responsible for our own self, our pleasure, our care, our basic needs, it just makes it so much easier for people around us. And
to provide that help, right? Because so often people are like, oh, you're sick, let me know if I can do anything. And then there's this silence, right? Because it's so hard to say, what I really would like is for you to cook me a meal. Like, that's really hard to express to friends. Or just call me and let me know
that you're thinking of me. That's valuable too. Right.
Right. Like, you know, this idea of making direct requests, you know, as an example, from being in bed for so long, one of my hips was getting totally out of whack. I was finding it hard to walk, which is terrifying. And I realized what I really need is butt massage. And I happen to be married to someone who's amazing at giving massages. And so I was able to say, when you have energy for it, yeah, not right now, when you have energy for it, I would really appreciate a butt massage. That night, she gave me 10 minutes of butt massage.
Because that was all I had energy for.
Right. But the next day, it was much easier to walk. A lot of the pain had gone away. We did that for a few nights, and it really helped me put things back in order. I could actually use one soon.
Okay.
So this idea of, you know, being in my body, knowing what I need, is the best direct experience for asking for what I need that would be most effective at helping me optimize my health or feel better or feel loved. And taking away that guesswork is an act of service to Charlotte, to my partner, so she can then give me what I need most.
Yeah.
And this, as you said, extends through all of life and into the bedroom, into our erotic zones. If I can say, what I really need now is another finger in my pussy, or, you know, like, that's what would feel best. And she can give me that without having to do the guesswork, without having to experiment with 50 different things to see what would give me more arousal. I'm giving her the gift of, here's what I need most. She gives me the gift of, okay, here you go. And we get there, right? And so if you can build this skill into your relationship, it makes everything so much better.
In sickness and in health. It really does.
Totally. Totally.
It's
huge. It's a huge life skill. And it was really highlighted in this point of sickness. But then what we realized is that, as you said, we've spent 10 years really working on this skill because it's something we recognized really early on, something that was really vital during our years of road tripping, of really being able to be like very clear and direct about our needs. And it came down to like the simplest things of like, you'll let me know when you have to pee so I don't have to ask you every 20 miles when we see a rest stop, right? Like, that cleared up our communication so efficiently. So it's the little things, it's the big things, but put the skill into practice and notice what happens. Making clear requests, being there with acts of service and devotion, being in that flow of giving and receiving, both in the micro moments, those daily little things, and in the big picture when your partner needs you the most. And I think this is just one of those vital core skills for a long-term relationship.
Yeah, and it's just so interesting. It is really unsexy in a certain way. Dealing with
and
bodies.
Super sexy in other ways.
Right, dealing with the bodies and the bodily fluids in an unsexy way. Like, it is, and it is so important. It's these moments where you take a sexual relationship and it turns into kinship, it turns into family, it turns into we are doing life together and I'm here for you. And that sort of devotion and sourcing all of the possible love that you can find because you're tired, because you're trying to take care of other things, is a really, really beautiful experience. And
talk about trust, right? Like, I now have this deep sense of trust that you were there for me when I needed you the most.
Uh-huh.
And when it was not fun and it was not sexy and it was not about being out in the world and lusty adventures together, it was about tending to me when my body was weak and frail.
Mm.
And so I now, in the core of my being, have that trust.
Mm.
And I think you have it too from different periods of our life together, that we are there for each other. And we can take that trust and carry it forward into our relationship. And that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sexy at the core of what romance is, right?
Well, I think it's an element of romance, yeah, that is often not spoken about, but it is romantic to take care of one another in the deepest way and to know that you'll be held and taken care of when you're suffering. That is really valuable. It does lead to trust. I think ultimately this is a part of respecting the body. If we're going to love the body in its highest state of pleasure, we also have to be willing to love the body in its deepest moments of weakness. And it's still part of loving the body.
Yeah. And it's just the chances that if you're in a long-term relationship, you are going to deal with illness or injury of some sort. Right? If you can get through 60 years together and not have to deal with this, then good on you.
Then you're superhuman.
But for most of us, we are going to have to deal with this and practicing the strategies that will then strengthen our relationship to the point where we can offer one another service and devotion and love when there is illness or injury is really important. And this skill just strengthens your whole relationship in sickness and health, in good times and bad.
And some of us are really better at receiving devotion and others are better at giving. And I think it's interesting to notice if it's harder for you to really like practice devotion or to receive devotion. And that is, of course, paralleled in the bedroom as well. And challenging oneself while you're well to see if you can get better at the one that's most challenging for you. For some people, really taking care of another person and sourcing devotion is challenging, but it is the same as really wanting to give your partner as much pleasure as possible and trying to pay as much attention to their vulva, to their breasts, to their body. It's the same thing. So let's explore what we're not so good at or want to deepen in.
And the same with receiving. Some people have a really hard time receiving.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So let's practice these skills and it'll serve us in sickness and in health.
In good times and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. So be in touch with us. We love hearing from you. We'd love to hear your stories of devotion and how you see this parallel between your erotic life and taking care of one another, long-term devotion, what that's looked like for you. And yes, you can find us at pleasuremechanics.com, where you will also find a complete podcast archive. We are approaching 200 episodes, and we will continue to bring you sex advice and explicit techniques, but we're also going to start exploring a lot more about long-term relationships and the values that go into a sexy, loving, devoted relationship and giving us all the love and pleasure we can stand. Indeed. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.